into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shah, alongside Mike Pump. Terrific show on tap today. Tim Doyle, one of the most entertaining people in the NBA and college basketball, is going to join us. He's going to break down what's going on in college hoops as well as the NBA. But, Mike, the news of the day, I know you're so excited to talk about it. The NFL, your favorite sport. Yeah. Let's get into it very quickly, and then we'll get into some hardwood action. J.J. Watt signs a two-year, $31 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals, 23 of this guaranteed. So, to me, it's a little bit of a surprise when you look at it from an Arizona perspective. This is a guy who's been injury prone the last few years. He's only played in 48 out of a possible 80 games over the last five seasons, Mike. Doesn't have the same numbers. Last year was not particularly effective in terms of rushing the quarterback sack number-wise. He did play in all 16 games.
Yeah, obviously his career is weighted to the first 4 years more than the last 4 years, right? And that's where you get into this $23 million guarantee, and $31 million was it too steep a price to pay? You do combine him with Chandler Jones, right? These guys have the most sacks since 2012, first and second, 97 and 95.5. It's interesting to see the market move quickly on their Super Bowl odds, moving 45-1 to 35-1. Here at Circa, even, they dropped 35-1 to 30-1 based on the news.
Wow, that's amazing. A washed-up defensive end is moving the odds 10 and 5, respectively. That's unbelievable. What are they going to do when they get another offensive gem in there?
Yeah, it's a tough division. I mean, you know, it's a tough division. You still have Seattle, and, you know, what will Jimmy G give San Francisco? But they're a Super Bowl team 2 years ago and had the lead in the fourth quarter, and then obviously you're high on the Rams with Stafford with the best defense in football.
I'm just going to quickly give you J.J. Watt's sacks the last 5 years, 1.5. 0, 16, 4, and 5. Guess it's worth 15.5 million these days in the National Football League. Kudos to him. I don't begrudge anyone for making as much money as they can. I just don't understand the business decision by some of these teams. And now I think it'll help them, the fact that he's got Chandler Jones on the other side, who's been one of the most underrated and best pass rushers in the National Football League for a long time. Since 2012, he has the most sacks in the NFL at 97. Mike, let's go to college hoops. A great weekend, but some big upsets in terms of ranked teams going down, including Baylor, Ohio State at home, Villanova on the road at Butler, which was just completely inexplicable for Jay Wright's team.
Yeah, that's the biggest upset because they're playing an unranked team. I mean, Ohio State lost to a top 10 team, and you know, Kansas at the Fog is always tough.
Yeah.
Here's what I took away from the weekend, Amal. I thought there were two games that were key. I'm worried about Rick Barnes in Tennessee. That performance at Auburn was not good. I mean, and I love to beat up on that Auburn team that you like to take at home, but there's something wrong here in Tennessee. It's like Missouri. This is a veteran team, and at the wrong time of the year, they seem to be declining.
If you were watching the Tennessee-Auburn game, that first half, Tennessee was laying, I think, 8.5, and they were down 6 or so around the break, and they were minus 5 second half. You knew they weren't winning that basketball game. You could just see once Auburn was engaged in that game, they were involved in it, they're going to find a way to win that game. Tennessee struggled against Vanderbilt. They were fortunate enough to be able to even cover that one. This team has some serious issues. I think they could be out quickly in the SEC tournament. And the NCAA tournament, I would not be surprised if they don't make it to the second weekend.
I agree with you. And then the other game I thought was just a terrific game. You know, we had the football rivalry Michigan-Ohio State last weekend. The Bedlam game was just great.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, what an awesome game. I'm glad it went over. But the runs by both teams, every time you thought one team was in control, the other team came back, and guess what? We get the round two tonight.
I was getting ready to say, this is the first time since 1921 these two teams are playing two games within 3 days. A terrific matchup coming up once again. Have to talk about Cade Cunningham for a second. 40 points in that one. He was outstanding. Had a critical shot block at the end of regulation. In overtime, his team prevails in this game. And this one, we'll get into it a little bit later on in terms of this matchup, but now Oklahoma, the road favorite here, and I would caution this. Normally speaking, and Mike, we've seen this a few times. Kansas, Texas Tech, these teams going on the road. Why are you shaking your head already?
Because I thought the wrong team's favored again here. They're very tough in Stillwater. Just like Texas Tech with the 3.5, I thought Oklahoma State would be 1.5 or 2 tonight.
What was the line on Saturday again in this one?
It was 4, maybe.
4. Okay, so I'm surprised by this low of a move. But remember one thing. This is a revenge spot. Iowa gets the revenge over the weekend. We saw it materialize. There were some other games. Kansas was one that got the revenge at home against Baylor. So the revenge factor has been playing a key role.
I just think that the change from Lloyd Noble to Stillwater is big here, and I think it's bigger than 2.5 points.
I tend to agree with you, and I think when you look at it from an Oklahoma perspective, the Sooners are a different team at the Lloyd Noble. Now you're going into Gallagher-Iba. I just feel like Oklahoma State is being so under just rated right now when you talk about how well a team is playing. They have been outstanding. This is a team, to me, that's going to be more and more dangerous as the season progresses. I can't wait to see what they're able to do in the NCAA tournament. When we come back here on the other side, we're going to get into a little bit J.J. Watt. We'll get into the NBA and, of course, some more college hoops. That's all next. Welcome into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside Mike Pomp. Terrific show on tap today. Tim Doyle, one of the most entertaining, energetic guys in the NBA, college basketball, will join us in about 30 minutes. We'll get his takes on what's going on, especially what happened in college basketball this weekend, as well as some of the action in the NBA and some of these games. I'm just surprised by some of the lines that we're seeing. But Mike, we'll start with the big news of the day coming out of Arizona right now. The Arizona Cardinals have signed J.J. Watt on a two-year, $31 million deal, $15.5 per year, 23 of that guaranteed. This is a guy that has not had more than five sacks in four of the last five seasons.
Right. Obviously, his career and his numbers have declined. I mean, the 2012 through 2015, much stronger. And, you know, of course, if he had those numbers still, I don't think Houston would have let him go. It's interesting what he can do with Chandler Jones, though, and yeah. What he gives protected to Chandler Jones, opposite side of the football. This team in Arizona, and we've seen their odds drop now, 45-1 to 30-1 to win the Super Bowl points bet here at Circa, 35-1 to 30-1. I still think they need to figure out things on the offense side of the ball.
Completely agree with you. The running game's got to be there. If not, Kyler Murray's going to be running for his life. These two guys, Mike mentioned, Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, combined 192.5 sacks, the most since 2012 in the National Football League. Now they'll be lining up opposite sides of each other on the edge. Should be a lot of fun to watch, and it's going to be a terrific division. Seattle, very competitive. The Rams, of course, and San Francisco once they get back healthy.
You know, this is a division where the worst team might be 7-9. It's a really balanced division, I think.
It's going to be interesting. Those division games are going to be so critical in this one. You see the Cardinals at 5-1. I feel like this is the division right now that it doesn't matter who you bet on. Rams plus 180, Niners plus $2, Seahawks plus $3. I'm surprised Seattle's at $3 because they just find ways to win with Russ back there. He's just unbelievable. And, of course, Cardinals at 5-1. But I think you can make a case for all four teams.
Let me ask you this, Amal. The talk of a possible trade for Russell to the Dallas for Dak. Does this make sense for both teams? The Cowboys are sort of poo-pooing it as if it's not in the realm of possibility, but I think there may be talks going on behind closed doors.
Well, nobody wants to tell their current girlfriend they're looking to upgrade.
Well, I mean, but they won't give him his car. I mean, they're going to keep franchise tagging him until he's a free agent. I mean, they won't give him his money. Aren't they telling him already there's issues there?
Well, I think the reality of it is you've got a situation. Most people see Dak Prescott this way. He's a good quarterback. I don't know if they think he's elite. I don't believe he's elite. I think he's got immense talent around him. You look at the Cowboys' record when Zeke rushes for over 100 yards. I think it's something like 23-4. You've got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. They've got some great players there in terms of making plays. And you look at the conference odds right now, Buccaneers at 450, Packers $5. We're seeing the Rams at 6-1, 49ers 7-1. And then, of course, the Saints, they're at 9-1. To me, I think it would be an upgrade for Dallas. I think it would be a downgrade for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think you make the trade if you're the Seattle Seahawks and John Schneider.
Depends on else what you get with it, I think, also.
That's critical, but at the same time, look, I just don't think you can overstate or overhype the value of a franchise quarterback. I mean, I'm not trying to sit there and say these guys are Tom Brady, but look at what Tom Brady did by going to Tampa, the shift in this organization. Look at what Russell Wilson means to the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know if there are two other quarterbacks in this league that could win in Seattle as consistently as Russell Wilson has with the lack of offensive line play this team has had.
Yeah, you make a good point, Amal. Let's talk about the NBA over the weekend. We saw the Nets' win streak finally come to an end at the hands of this inconsistent Dallas team. I mean, it's like every other game you can play Dallas or not. And then last night, the feature game, the Bucks took care of business at home against the Clippers. Maybe we wrote off the Bucks too soon. I know you weren't writing them off. I was early.
Well, you know, I think they're a good team. Look, the reality of it is there's a couple of factors, and I was thinking about this today with the NBA. Some of these bad teams, and I know we'll get into this a little bit, Detroit last night gets blown out at home by the New York Knicks by 19. I think these are good bet against teams, and I think Milwaukee, you got to take them when the lines are a little bit lower, when they're a high number, you can't take them. But last night, 1.5 at home, they get the cover in this matchup against the Clippers. To me, the reason why I bring these teams to the table is this. There's 72 games this year, so teams that are on the rear of the bus right now, they are not going to have much of an opportunity to move forward. They're kind of just maybe disengaged. Players are not making the full salaries. You know, I get they're still paid extremely well. I'm not trying to say that, but nobody wants to go to work and make about 12 to 15% less than they normally would make. And it's harder for teams that are not as engaged. Milwaukee, to me, I think for them, the regular season won't mean as much. They've got to figure out a way to get through this year injury-free and then get to the postseason. Then that's where they got to make their push.
All right, let's take a look at the NBA tonight, Amal, and we'll start in Philadelphia, where the 76ers come off that overtime loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Embiid put up 42 points. They're hosting the Pacers tonight. They're laying 4.5 with a total of 223. When the teams met on January 31st, Philadelphia came away with a 119-110 victory. Tobias Harris led the way with 27. He won't be playing tonight, Amal.
Yeah, it's going to be a big blow for that Philadelphia team. I know you like Tobias Harris, as do I. I think he's a great third option for this team behind Embiid and Ben Simmons. The other thing I have a concern with from an Indiana Pacers perspective is Malcolm Brogdon is questionable right now. You're going to want to check to see if he's going to be a go, because he is so critical to them. He does so many things so well. The problem why maybe the average fan doesn't look at Brogdon as a tremendous asset is because he's not a flashy player. He comes from that Virginia system, right? Just a very quiet guy. All he does, remember a couple years ago, he goes 40, 50, and 90. He's a terrific complimentary piece on this team, and more than complimentary, really. But he's just a terrific offensive addition for this team. And if he's not in the lineup, I think it's going to be a critical issue for this team. I like Philadelphia to bounce back in this one. And I'll tell you one thing, and somebody asked me this on Twitter, and I thought it was a brilliant question. They said, how come you don't bet a lot of money lines on games where teams are -1, -2, -3? And for me, it's a little bit about the juice, the numbers on it. But I will say one area where there's an advantage of betting the money line, like Philadelphia tonight. If you bet Philly on the money line, you have an opportunity. I think, if Jacob, if you can throw the graphic back up there, I want to see what their money line price is. They're at 186. So if you take them on the money line, let's say they get out to a lead, Mike, and all of a sudden you get Indiana at plus +354. They're trailing by 8 or 9 points. You could put yourself in a situation where you just basically buy off a little bit of your bet and you have no risk. So that is the one advantage with looking at money lines, or if maybe you like two teams, you like to money line parlay them. But with all that being said, I still like Philly here. I think this is a good basketball team. I think they get back on track with that, off of that loss against Dallas.
All right, the Utah Jazz continue their Eastern road trip, and tonight they're in New Orleans to play a Western Conference matchup. These two teams, Amal, met in January back-to-back on the 19th and the 21st. Utah 118-102, Utah 129-118 over the Pelicans. J.J. Redick is out for the Pelicans. Home squad getting 7 tonight from the Jazz. 236 is your total.
Yeah, I think there's going to be too many points here. I know Utah's a terrific team. They seem to cover everything. But remember, they went down to Miami, didn't cover that big 6.5. And I think it's going to be a similar situation. I think there are certain teams, when they're playing particularly well, it's like that effect that when we see Duke go on the road against a team like Miami this year, they lose the game. That jersey means a lot to the opponent. And I think this is a similar situation. When you look at the standings right now, everybody knows how well the Utah Jazz have played so far this year, coming at 27-7. I don't think the Pelicans win this game, but I think they stay within the number of 7. I think Zion Williamson has a big day. This kid has been unbelievable, averaging 26 points a game. He's been terrific, and I think they're going to be competitive in this one, but I don't see them winning it.
You know, I look at the total here, 235, 236. I like it over. I think, you know, New Orleans plays very little defense, and Utah, when they get out to these leads, they keep their foot on the gas pedal. That would be my only play here. I'm not really interested in 7 on the road against a conference opponent.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. When you look at when these two teams met, you mentioned it last time these two teams played, that total for that previous game was 217.5. We've got a 19-point adjustment from the last time these two teams met in Salt Lake, but that game went over it comfortably.
Yes. All right, as I mentioned, the Nets' win streak was snapped, but their road win streak is still intact at 5 in a row. Irving and Durant will both be out tonight as they travel to San Antonio. Here's a team we haven't – I don't know if we've even talked about the Spurs on the Nets yet.
It's funny you said that. I thought about that today coming in. I said, we have not talked about the San Antonio Spurs all season. They're sitting there right now in 5th in the Western Conference. They're off to a terrific start, but I think because San Antonio for the last 2 decades has created such expectations that they've kind of disappeared the last 2 years.
Yeah, Rudy Gay is out tonight, and LaMarcus Aldridge is day-to-day with that wrist, so check your lineups. It's a 5-point line here tonight. Nets lane 5. 233.5 of them all.
Yeah, I'm not going to get involved in this game. You know how I know I'm getting old? I covered LaMarcus Aldridge's McDonald's All-American celebration. I mean, that guy, it's been a long time since he played at Texas. He was in Seagoville, Texas, and now been in the NBA a long time. This is a Spurs team, though, to me. They're competitive. I think this is too big of a number. I do think, though, this is going to be strange to say. I feel like Brooklyn just operates better when there's no KD. I'm sorry, when there's no Irving. And it's just Harden. Now, when you get KD in the lineup, I think Irving defers a little bit more. But I think when it comes to James Harden, he doesn't give him the credit or the respect he deserves.
Yeah. Tough spot here, 5. This may be an in-game opportunity to see how the Nets get off to a start here. I really haven't watched the Spurs play much this year. I think I watched a game they played in Charlotte one night. But I really don't know a lot about the team. So.
Yeah. this is a team that's been inconsistent in terms of, yeah, their record is good, but you just look at them at times, you think, okay, they're going to get on track. They're not going to. And you look at their home record this year, just 8 up and 8 down.
Still a lot of COVID there. They got a 4 or 5 guys out with the health and safety protocols. Denver Nuggets travel to Chicago tonight to take on the Bulls. Jermichael Green is out. Obviously, Paul Millsap is out. This Bulls team played better of late, obviously behind LaVine. They're going to catch 5 at home tonight. I thought that there was a good spot with them against Phoenix, but Phoenix covered the number the other night, a total 226 here. 4.5 now the number. A little bit of money on the Bulls.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder. I had the Bulls catching 7.5 the other night against Phoenix. Okay, they're in great shape in this one, right? They get outscored by 16 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, they have a 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter. I'm thinking, okay, this is great. I didn't even try and hedge the situation. I'm like, no problem. You're not going to get blown out by 15 points in the fourth quarter.
At home.
Yeah, and they lose by 16. I tell you what, I'm going to stay away from this game. I'm telling you, Mike, this was the toughest beat of the weekend in terms of this matchup. I thought for sure it was already in the bank and earning interest, and Bulls come up short now, getting 4.5 in this one against this Denver team. I can't make heads or tails of this Denver team, sitting 18 and 15, a little bit inconsistent. Again, I talked about with San Antonio being inconsistent. When you look at teams, to me, Denver's one of those that should be in the upper echelon consistently. Right now, they're just not that good, in my opinion. 7th in the Western Conference. They've got to get better. Let's see if they can turn things around in the second half of the season. This is a stay-away spot here. More of an in-game opportunity when a team goes down pretty big.
All right, Amal, let's turn our attention to college basketball tonight. We mentioned the Bedlam rematch headlining tonight's card. Oklahoma now goes to Gallagher-Iba after blowing an overtime at home at Lloyd Noble to take on Oklahoma State. We're looking at a line here, 1.5, the road team favorite, Oklahoma. Oklahoma gets a lot of respect in the polls. They get a lot of respect at the betting window as well. A total here, 142.5. As we mentioned, Cunningham with a career performance. I didn't realize 29 had been his high point total before Saturday. Came up with 40, 10 of them in overtime.
Well, you know what you got to love about Cade Cunningham? He's the best player on the floor every night, but he's not a ball hog. He does a terrific job of getting his teammates involved, and then when they need to take and make a big shot, he does it. He is a guy that's an absolute difference maker, and I'm going to lean towards Oklahoma State here. Mike, I hate to say this. I'm going against the revenge here, and we've seen it right now, a game in progress. Western Kentucky and Florida International. Florida International gets crushed by Western Kentucky over the weekend. Right now, they're covering the number. I'm telling you, the revenge angle in this rivalry is going to be critical. I don't think this is as big of a play on Oklahoma State as we saw in the situation against Texas Tech and as against Kansas. I think this is going to be a tricky spot here. I think Oklahoma's going to come to play in this matchup. I would just say proceed with caution. I know you're going to be on the Cowboys tonight. I love the way they shot the ball at the free throw line. I don't know if they can duplicate that. I think they were 23 for 26 on the road. That's how you win road games. You make 23 out of 26 free throws, gives you a great chance. Both teams shot the ball well from the perimeter.
Are you concerned with the Leke being out tonight? He's questionable with a hand.
Yeah, they missed him on Saturday's game. He's been terrific for this team. I think this is another addition that you don't have there. If he doesn't go, it hurts you a little bit. But look, Cade Cunningham's going to have another Superman type of performance here. I think Oklahoma, I'm not as high on Oklahoma as you are. I think they're a good basketball team, but I don't think they're quite as good on the road. We've seen them struggle in certain spots. But with that being said, I think it's going to be a terrific matchup once again.
Concerned about that loss in Manhattan. That's a bad team.
Yeah, but don't you think over the course of such a long season, you get tripped up time to time? It happens. Look, are you concerned about Villanova? Look, I was not as high on Villanova, but my perception of Villanova does not change by losing at Butler.
I never thought Villanova was an upper-tier team. I don't think they're a top 12 team. I don't think that conference is good enough.
I would agree with you on the conference, so here's my argument. I think Villanova is a top 8 to 15 team. I don't change how I see them still. I still think they're a top 8 or 15 team. It was one of those where, listen, Butler's had a bad year. We're going to play well in this particular matchup, and I thought that was the same thing with K-State. You have that rivalry there. They come in into Manhattan at Bramlage, and they walk out with the loss. I just chalk that up to a good effort from K-State, a little bit of a letdown spot for Oklahoma.
Were you concerned about Robert Morris' double revenge against Detroit Mercy in the first round of the Horizon Tournament?
Robert Morris is so bad on offense. Okay, that's a different story. In this matchup here, you got a team in Oklahoma with Austin Reeves. I mean, he's up there for the Big 12 Player of the Year. If it weren't for what Mitchell and Teague have done at Baylor and what Cade Cunningham has done, he's probably a favorite in most leagues to win the Player of the Year.
I want to talk about an afternoon game, the rematch, Washington State and Arizona State. This game went to overtime in Tempe the other night with Remy Martin draining a three at the buzzer to give Arizona State the 77-74 victory. They come back here a 4.5-point favorite tonight, total 146.
Yeah, this is a little bit of an interesting number. I like Arizona State here, but Washington State, to their credit, has been so competitive in so many different spots this year. They've had a couple of hiccups along the way, but this team has been very good. And that's one thing you have to pay attention to when you look at this Washington State team, how well they compete in certain scenarios. And I'll tell you, to me, the biggest thing is the fact that you don't have Isaac Bonton in the lineup. That's a big blow for this team. I think it's going to be difficult for them to be able to come back in this spot here. I like Arizona State to cover the 4.5. Their leading scorer out once again.
I want to talk about A-10. You're somewhat of an A-10 specialist.
Yeah, right.
Our team, St. Bonnie, leading the league now on top of the conference. They're going to host Dayton, who's been very good of late. And it's a big number tonight. I'm all 7.5, 131.5. Dayton just 8-7 in the league, 12-8 overall.
Yeah, my problem with Dayton is they're too perimeter-oriented. About 40% of their shots come from beyond the arc. We know how good Crutcher has been all season long. But my issue is that this team just doesn't get to the line enough. And I think St. Bonnie's, when you look at them, they're a more complete team. I think Lofton and Welch will have a big day. That'll be the critical kind of matchup in this one. What'd you say the number's sitting at?
7.5.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch this one. If anything, I would lean towards Dayton because they're slower tempo. But I'm just not sure I'm a believer in this Flyers team. They're going to need to win the A-10 tournament to be able to get in the NCAA tournament. So I don't know. I'm not buying this team right now. When we come back on the other side, we're going to get to the ice. My man, the specialist, Mike Palm, do you have something on tap? Every game in the National Hockey League except Chicago last night went under because Mike's favorite goaltender, Thomas Greiss, was in net last night. Let's see if that trend continues in the National Hockey League and see who Mike's looking at next. Indeed believes less is more. Indeed's Instant Match instantly searches its databases of millions of resumes, delivering candidates who best fit your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. Mike, let's get into the National Hockey League. Big card tonight. I know there's a few games you're eyeing. Let's start north of the border. Calgary taking on the Ottawa Senators. This Ottawa team continues to struggle overall, but Calgary comes in at 10-10-2.
Well, I think Calgary's playing better as of late. I think they took a little bit to find their way. They beat up on Ottawa on Saturday. I like coming right back in this spot with them at 155. I put them in a parlay with another northern game tonight with Connor Hellebuck, who I think has been under the radar a bit this year.
You mentioned it, Vancouver taking on the Winnipeg Jets. It'll be Thatcher Demko in net for Vancouver taking on the American Connor Hellebuck. I always mention that because he's one of the best American goaltenders of all time.
Here's the thing. You know, as well as Ronald Reagan's favorite goaltender, Thatcher Demko, played against the Golden Knights in the playoffs last year. He's been very shaky this year. And this Vancouver team is bad on the road. You know, very quietly under the radar here, the Jets are 13-6-1. Nobody's really talking about the Jets. I think this is a good spot for them. Hellebuck's played well with the goals against around 2.5. They're only laying 135. I put them together in the playbook, the Flames and the Jets tonight in the parlay.
It's an interesting one. I like that one. We'll pay attention to that one. Two other games I want to get to quickly. Carolina taking on the Florida Panthers in this one. It'll be Nedeljkovic taking on Chris Dreiger in this matchup. To me, this is a Hurricanes team. I know they've played extremely well, but I didn't expect this type of start for Rob Brindamore's team right now. 13-6-1. Florida, how about them? 13-4-3.
Very interesting. This is the game of the night. I mean, out here, they say VGK, but I mean, across the landscape nationally, I think this is two teams off to such a hot start. Boy, I'm high on Dreiger. I was high on Dreiger last year. Dreiger might become the Bennington. Dreiger's that good, and he's really the number one right now. Bobrovsky, for that big contract they gave him, is really relieving Dreiger one out of every three games. I bet this game under. These two goalies matched up when they were in Carolina, and they played two first period unders so far this year. The games went over because they went to overtime. But I like this, and you're getting plus 120 on the first period under 1.5. I snatched it up early this morning. I lean Panthers here in a game that's a pick just because Dreiger's played so well, but I think this is a low-scoring game.
I tend to agree with you. I think Florida's been a little bit more defensive this year than they get credit for. You know, years past, we saw everything get past them. Should be a terrific matchup tonight here in Las Vegas between the Minnesota Wild, who've won six in a row. By the way, I almost called them the Minnesota Stars. Wild and, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights. Minnesota comes in having won six in a row. It's going to be Cam Talbot in this matchup taking on Marc-Andre Fleury. Look, I know Marc-Andre Fleury's been sensational, but Cam Talbot has played well, and so has this Minnesota defense.
Cam Talbot was the number one in Edmonton
yeah.
until he became the number two, and then they shipped him off to Calgary. Now they shipped him from Calgary now off to Minnesota. Maybe he's finally found a home here in Minnesota. I mean, he's supposed to be the two to Dubnyk, but he's played like a one. And look at these two goalies. Fleury 1-5, 9 goals against Talbot 2-1-9. This game screams under 5.5 to me.
I'm with you. I think this is going to be a very defensive game. Minnesota has been terrific overall in terms of what they've been able to do defensively. That's really been the key to this team's success over the last six games, and I think that's going to continue. Now, when you look at the pricing on this one, VGK minus 140. On the flip side, you've got Minnesota at minus 120. Mike, I'm leaning towards Minnesota here at plus 120. I love the way this team is playing right now.
What bodes well for Minnesota is they play Colorado really tough.
Yeah.
The Avalanche have a hard time with them. They either take them to overtime or they beat them. So this team can beat them. Now, traditionally, Vegas has had a very hard time going to XL Energy Arena in Minneapolis and beating them. We'll see what they can do at home here in the Fortress.
Want to hit one more game before we go to the break. St. Louis, you mentioned Jordan Binnington a minute ago. They take on the Anaheim Ducks in this one. It'll be Binnington versus Gibson. Gibson has played particularly well. You look at the goals against, he's got the same numbers as Binnington in this one, but no surprise when we see the St. Louis Blues as the favorite in this matchup, minus 141 against the the Ducks, who are plus 123.
Yeah, it's tough to play the Blues. They've had injury problems. You know, they haven't played well. They get a little bit of a break here. I mean, some of these games they're in. I mean, this game with San Jose, they just kept going. 3-3, 4-4, 5-5. So it's hard for me to get on, especially when you have to lay a price on the road. So it's a pass for me.
Well, we've got time for another one here. How about Colorado and San Jose? This one at the Tank. Remember, San Jose has played an inordinate number of road games thus far coming into the season. They're finally back at home. They just have played only four home games thus far. It'll be Grubauer against Jones in this matchup, Mike.
Yeah, it's a big price. Yeah. You could probably play this over. I mean, these San Jose games fly over. Martin Jones, I mean, he's got a winning record with the goals against of almost four, so that tells you what kind of scoring are in these San Jose games.
Yeah, Colorado's minus 225 in this matchup. The San Jose Sharks are plus 190 at home. When would you think you'd see the Sharks in the Tank at plus 190? This team has struggled all the time.
I didn't know we'd even see them in the Tank at all.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned it. They have played 18 games, 14 on the road. I'm sure this team is excited to be back at home. Speaking of excited, our next guest is 100% going to be excited. The former Northwestern Wildcat, Tim Doyle, one of the most entertaining guys in the NBA and college basketball. We'll see if his 14-game winning streak is even further. And a surprise team that he likes in the Western Conference. That's next when the Nuts continues.
It's March. It's madness. Put them together and we get a cease and desist letter from the NCAA, but you get unlimited betting opportunities for the next month. Hopefully Hoops Peterson named directly in the lawsuit. Now is the time to sign up for your free trial of VSiN to put our experts, including Greg Hoops Peterson, Matty Humans, Wes Reynolds, these guys are so good. Small conferences, large conferences to work for you. We have the most betting coverage of college hoops anywhere. Remember, you're going to get the College Hoops Betting Guide. It's $49.99 for a subscription through the end of March Madness. You get the point spread weekly every Wednesday. That gives you the up-to-date power rankings, NBA, NHL, as well as college basketball. And how about Bill 80's email? 12:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Summarizes all the best bets each day from our host and our guest. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's March Madness. Don't get left out. All right, we're back on the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Amal Shaw, and we're very happy to bring in Tim Doyle to the program. Tim Doyle, CBS Sports, NBA TV, former standout at Northwestern. Tim, I heard you were going to be calling the Jazz Pelicans game for NBA TV tonight.
You know what? I'm holding a Jazz NBA championship ticket, and I feel really good about it because I got locked in at 35-1, and I still think they're being disrespected, boys. Obviously, the Lakers are your favorites. Clippers are still getting some love. Nets are getting some love. Bucks. I mean, all these teams are in front of the Jazz. Guys, what do they need to do to start getting that respect? You see the odds right there? The Lakers and LeBron James are your favorite. The Nets, I believe, are the clear-cut best team in the Eastern Conference. The rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, is a massive, massive question mark. But I still think the Jazz have value at 9-1.
Tim, let me answer your question. They'd have to move the team from Salt Lake City.
Is that what it is? Yeah, is that what it is? I just saw that they're doing a Housewives now from Utah. And my first thought was, how boring would that be? But I've heard, like, the Housewives in Utah, they get down. So that's why they gave them a TV show.
It's all one house. Tim, how do you like? You like 30-1. How do you like? How do you like laying 7 tonight in New Orleans?
I don't like laying 7 in any NBA game, to be honest. I know I went on a 14-game NBA streak where I had 14 straight winners, and I'm gonna pound my chest. Why? Because that's hard to do. I don't care what sport you're doing. Pick 14 straight. And you know what I was doing, guys? To be frankly honest, I would look at a game like this, and you don't lay 278. We all know that on the money line. And we all know you shouldn't bet parlays, but we all do it for crying out loud. So I'm going to take the Jazz. I'm going to throw them in a parlay action, whether it's a two-teamer, three-teamer, minus 278. I'm confident they're going to go out and win this game. I know they've been covering at an amazing clip, but I just kind of have a rule, laying more than 4.5, 5 points, you're just kind of asking for it, especially in the fourth quarter of an NBA game where anything could literally happen. So give me the Jazz. You see what they've been this year. I mean, that is some crazy numbers, 24-8. But I'll tell you this right now. I think there's value with the second team there. The Phoenix Suns, go look at the Pacific Division. The Lakers and the Clippers and the Suns are all right around the same loss market, but you can get amazing value at Phoenix winning the Pacific Division. And why is that an important play? Phoenix probably, it means something to win the division. It doesn't mean any of the Clippers, it doesn't mean any of the Lakers winning the freaking division. But Phoenix, I think there's value there. So lock in on the Suns. I think they're a real contender.
Tim, I'm glad you mentioned the Suns team. I wasn't as high on them. I think this is a team that's going to be one to keep an eye out for. I want to go back to the Pelicans game very quickly. I tend to agree with you. I think 7 on the road in this spot, revenge for New Orleans is too high. You're going to be calling this game today. What time is that going? Where can people find you on that?
Yeah, you can check it out on the NBA app. I'm going to be on the call with Cabby Richards and Kelly Stewart from Bleacher Report. Obviously, Kelly in Vegas has a big following. And when she tweets, I just try to mooch off a follower or two. And I'm trying to mooch off some followers of VSiN as well. Get this video out here, Amal. Come on, Mike. I need some more followers. More followers equals more bread on the table at the Doyle household. What's up with the Pelicans? I don't know. You know, last year was like score a lot of points. This year, it's score not as many points, but They should be better. Let's be honest. You got Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball. Like, you got some talent there. They've been one of the more disappointing teams in the entire NBA. This game does make me a tad nervous because when New Orleans puts it all together, I think they can beat anybody on any given night. And obviously, they're going to be at home. They're going to be pumped up. Utah's starting to get that bullseye. But I just love the Jazz because of their balance. You got a backcourt of Conley and Donovan Mitchell. Second year together, they're established. Got the Stifle Tower down low, blocking shots and rebounding. And then Jordan Clarkson off the bench is this year's sixth man of the year. I really feel like the key to their squad is the Australian Joe Ingles and Bojan Bogdanovic. When those guys make shots, in my eyes, this is the best team in the NBA.
Talking with Tim Doyle, CBS Sports, NBA TV's calling Jazz Pelicans tonight. Tim, let's turn your attention to college basketball. Obviously, we're standout at Northwestern. You know the Big Ten. You know the landscape. Give me a team outside of the top 16 right now that could make a run in the NCAA tournament.
You know, I like Loyola Chicago. Now, I'm biased because Loyola Chicago is about 4 miles away from Evanston. So, like, when we went slumming, we used to go down to Loyola Chicago, go there, get on the dance floor in the back at Hamilton's. You know, it's amazing. At Hamilton's, which is, rest in peace, no longer there, the air temperature in the front bar was like 68 degrees. But then when you go in the back where everyone's dancing, it was like a sauna. It was like 110 degrees. You'll be sweating, making out and stuff. I love Porter Moser's squad because they defend. They give up less than 60 points a game. And they have some guys on their roster that were on the team 3 years ago. I'm talking about Cameron Krutwick, the best player in the Missouri Valley. Lucas Williamson's the best defender in the Missouri Valley. I think they could easily get back to a Final Four. I repeat myself, easily get back to a Final Four. But the clear-cut favorite is Gonzaga. But, Mike, I think betting the future on the NCAA tournament is a giant roll of the dice, and here's why. CBS, the NCAA, has said, if there's a COVID outbreak with a team, bye-bye. We're going to move forward without you. So, like, that would a horrible way to lose. Like, I bet the ponies a lot. So So, like, you get disqualified in a race. It's, like, it's pretty awful. Or if a horse goes off stride, if you're betting the trotters. But this is, like, you may have the best team, and then they get COVID. That's a tough way to lose.
Tim, before we get out of here, most important question everybody wants to know at Hamilton's. Were you doing the white man overbite?
I was, and I was doing a lot of snapping. But one thing I was in college, and I'll be totally honest, I was a bad kisser. Because I always thought French kissing was you just, like, lay the tongue in there. Amal, I didn't know you had to do the wiggling as well. Like, I would just lay the tongue in there like a dead fish. Maybe that's why I didn't do too well in college.
I'm glad you've improved that aspect of your game. It's always important.
Timmy, I once had a horse at Pompano in a pace, and he had a flat tire. He led by three going into the stretch. The tire went flat. I said, what happened to this horse? Timmy, it's always great joining you. We love it. Our producer, Jacob Roach, will tweet out one of these clips. I'll retweet it. You'll pick up 20 followers.
Tell Sergeant Hartman I need the followers, all right? Thanks, guys. Always fun.
Thanks, Timmy.
Hey, always bring the energy. Love it. Catch him tonight on NBA TV, the app. It'll be the Pelicans and the Jazz. He's like me. He likes the Jazz on the money line, but thinks potentially that the Pelicans can cover this game. Double revenge here for New Orleans. Pay attention to that in this particular matchup. When we come back, the Palm Reader's playbook, we'll see what Mike has. I got a feeling he's going to be on the Cowboys tonight of Oklahoma State. I know he's got a hockey player, too, coming up. That's all next on the other side when the Nuts continues. Days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily special, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER, Indiana 800-9 with it, Colorado 800-522-4700, Michigan 800-270-7117, Virginia 888-532-3500, not valid in Iowa. Mike Palm, we get into the playbook. I was just making sure you weren't laughing as I was doing the read there.
The faster it got. It was, what is it, allegro, crescendo, however you do it there. Yeah, it's hockey tonight, Amal. I'm going to bet Oklahoma State, yes. It's not in the playbook, though, but I have to take them on principle tonight. I went with two hockey plays. I went with a two-unit play under 1.5 in the first period, Nedeljkovic and Driger. I think these two goalies playing very well down in Florida. This should be a good contested game. Both of these teams off to great starts. You get plus 120 there on that game, Jacob. Plus 120 on the under 1.5. And then we'll parlay two favorites, Flames against a really bad Ottawa team. Flames took care of them very easily on Saturday in Ottawa, and they repeat the game tonight. And then the Jets a little bit under the radar here. Connor Hellebuck playing against Thatcher Demko and the Canucks, who are just not good on the road. So a parlay of 155 and 135.
Yeah, just to reiterate that real quick, Canes-Panthers first period under 1.5, and then the Flames and Jets. Flames are at minus 155, and the Jets at minus 135 is what Mike has in the Palm Reader's playbook for today. For myself in the All-In segment, I've got one play tonight. It's Virginia at home against the Miami Hurricanes. Under 124, I think Miami's going to struggle to score the basketball in this matchup. They've been decimated with injuries throughout the entire course of the season. Arguably one of their top players offensively, Chris Likes, has been out. He's only played two games this year. Cameron McGusty, the former Oklahoma transfer, has missed a ton of time. I think when you look at Cameron Wong, there's just too much pressure on him. This total has now come down from 124 down to 122.5. Mike, I think the Hurricanes are going to struggle to get to 55 in this one.
Well, Amal, both these teams are struggling. Virginia's lost three in a row. Miami's six in a row, including six in a row on the road here. Yeah. But this team, we've seen this team, you know, put up first halves of, I think against Purdue, what did they have, 18 points in the first half early in? That was at home in Miami. Now they go to John Paul Jones Arena there tonight. I think you're right. I don't think that Miami gets to 45 tonight.
I don't know about that. I think they could potentially get there. We saw after the hot start by Miami on Saturday against Clemson, the Tigers put the clamps down on them in the second half and really most of the rest of the game in that one. So I think that'll be a little bit of a struggle scoring. And I think that's where Virginia gets back on track. They've got to go back to what they do best, which is defend. And I think we'll see a terrific job of that one. And I think the other thing is, if Miami can do a decent job, and Jim Larrañaga's teams tend to be pretty good defensively, usually speaking, it could present some problems here. 122, I'm just not seeing a scenario for myself where both teams are get to 60. I think this is one where Virginia could get to about 65, but I think it's going to be a struggle for the Miami Hurricanes to get over 55.
Well, the thing about Miami is it's not because they're trying to play a slow tempo that they don't score. It's because they're inefficient offensively.
Absolutely.
They don't shoot them. And now you combine that with the way Virginia plays and that tempo, I like your play here, Amal. Although, I don't worry so much about the full game play when you have a line like 15 and fouling at the end, because Virginia's up 12-14 and there are no fouls.
No, but let's go to the fouling that you just brought up a second ago. So the other day, Baylor down 12, I think it was, with 29 seconds fouls. Dave Lato doesn't foul down 10 with 1:06 to go. I mean, you can't make heads or tails of some of these coaches and what they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable. That Georgetown-DePaul game in the second half, I think they needed 5 points. You figure you're going to get there with a 10-point game. DePaul just scored 2 free throws. Okay, you press and you foul. Instead, they allow Georgetown to take 30 seconds off the clock and take a shot. I mean, are you trying to win the game? What are you doing here?
Yeah, well, you get the ball back with 40 seconds, and it's a 4-possession game. I mean, it's over.
It makes zero sense in terms of some of these coaches. Let's go to a game tonight, Mike. I know you have your eye on. This one's going to be at the Carrier Dome between a team that you like. North Carolina, they're laying 2 on the road here, 150.5 against the Syracuse Orange. Syracuse is the team that has had a little bit of difficulty. They blew a lead against Georgia Tech. That was a little bit of a scenario where they fell behind big, took the lead, and then they squandered that lead. Georgia Tech wins that game. A nice come-from-behind win for North Carolina on Saturday at the Dean Dome against Florida State. Now they go up north to Syracuse. They have an opportunity, critical game really for both teams here, but more important for North Carolina's chances to get in the NCAA tournament if you can get a road win.
Well, I wanted to talk because you followed Syracuse more, and you've bet on games at Syracuse, not necessarily on them, more against them or more totals over with them. I just think this North Carolina team is the most talented, inconsistent team, a team that's not a ranked team, a team that's on the fringe of the tournament. I mean, they have so much. When they put it together, you saw what they could do against Florida State in that second half. Teams don't dominate Florida State like that because they're too long and they're too deep for you to dominate them for 20 minutes. Carolina was down 12, 14, 12 at half. I thought that game was over. I thought it was donezo. And they come out in the first 10 minutes, second half, and go 23-9 on Florida State.
Well, it was an impressive job by North Carolina in this one. I'm going to tell you right now, Baycott and, to me, Sharp are going to have huge days on the glass. Syracuse's biggest problem is rebounding inside that zone. Dolezal is going to have to stay out of foul trouble in this one. Mike, I think this game goes over the total of 150.5. This is an Orange team that can score the basketball. If you haven't seen them play, Guerrier, Griffin, Buddy Boeheim, these guys can all shoot the ball well. I think this is going to be a team in Syracuse. You have to stay out of foul trouble because they don't have much depth. You have Gerard coming off the bench, but other than that, really no consistency from their bench. They have 5 double-digit scores. I like North Carolina, not in this particular game. I just like their offensive rebounding in this game. I don't think they shoot the ball well enough. I think the zone can be effective if Syracuse can get the defensive glass.
Yeah, it's interesting. Carolina really struggles against lockdown teams. Clemson, they couldn't score at all at Clemson, at Little John. Virginia, again, couldn't score against Virginia. So Syracuse, not a team that really, pressures on the defensive end, but Carolina, not the best shooting team. It's a tough game to me. I think it's going to be a great game tonight.
Do you like one side over the other?
I tend to think that win against Florida State is going to give Carolina some momentum here.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be a simple just watch how the offensive rebounding goes 4 or 5 minutes into this game. If you see North Carolina dominating on the glass, especially on the offensive end, I think they win this game. If they are struggling, and North Carolina, the number one team in terms of rebounding their misses percentage-wise in college basketball, they're terrific. They'll have an opportunity here because they should have a huge advantage inside the paint in this matchup. And there was a couple other games you wanted to talk about in college hoops.
Well, I want to talk about Arizona and Oregon tonight. Now, Arizona lost at home 63, very close game, 63-61 in Tucson not that long ago, about 16, 17 days ago. Now, Oregon comes back tonight at home in Eugene. They're a 5-point favorite. I didn't know this until looking at the notes of this game. They've won 6 straight over Arizona. Hard to believe any school in the Pac-12 has won 6 straight against Arizona in conference.
You're absolutely right about that. That was a tight game, the first one. Duarte hit a big shot for the Oregon Ducks in that one. To me, I think this number's a little bit high, and we've seen it come down half a point now, down to 4.5, total of 139.5. Mike, and the reason I say that is Oregon has been inconsistent. They win games, they play well enough to win, but they don't cover games, and that's been a problem for them. They have not been as dominant at home this year at Matthew Knight Arena as you'd expect them to be. I think it's going to be a challenge for the Ducks in this matchup. Revenge spot here for Arizona. And remember, Arizona is not eligible for the postseason tournament in the Pac-12 tournament, so this is basically it for them. I would expect to see a good effort out of this team. And I'm fast-forwarding a little bit here, Mike. Arizona, to me, next year, they're going to have all five starters back. I think this team's going to be very dangerous. Akinjo and Tabellis have been outstanding for this team. This is one to keep an eye out for if your future's better as soon as this season ends on Arizona next year. But in terms of this matchup tonight, I'm going to stay away and hope to catch Arizona maybe at an 8.5, 9.5 in game.
Amal, we've talked about how many teams are getting in out of the Big Ten, and I think you probably have six or seven solid and then another two or three that are on the bubble right now that didn't help Michigan State getting really destroyed right off the get yesterday at Maryland.
Well, I was thinking about that Maryland game. It reminded me of the USC-Oregon game. Maryland jumps out 11-0. I don't think Sparty got closer than 6 or maybe 5 at one point in that game. This team continues to struggle. Outside of Aaron Henry, they don't have consistency on the offensive end. Langford and Hauser have got to play a little bit more consistently. I know Langford had more points than Aaron Henry yesterday, but they just don't have it. They don't have the guard play.
Big win for Maryland. I think they're solidly in. Let's talk about another team on the bubble in the Big Ten that plays tonight, Rutgers. Rutgers travels to play Nebraska, obviously the bottom of the Big Ten. This is a pretty big number here tonight, laying 8 on the road in Lincoln.
Too high of a number. This Rutgers team, we know, we always talk about it constantly, how well they play at the rack. They're a different team. Peichel's team's going to have to do a better job. I like this team. Harper and, of course, in the backcourt, Baker and Young. Now, Young coming off the bench. Remember, he was a starter, and they put him on the bench. He's coming in as a non-starter now, but I think this team is good. But, Mike, remember we talked about this earlier, and I can't remember which team I alluded to. They're good. Oh, Arkansas. You know, the Rutgers is like that. They're good at home, but then when you get them away from home, they struggle. I think they'll win this basketball game, but I wouldn't take them to cover in this particular spot. It's going to be tough here, though, for Nebraska simply because they just don't have the horses. This is a team that's been struggling all year long for Fred Hoiberg. I'm not a big backer of this Nebraska team.
Well, we started off with the news, J.J. Watt, yeah, obviously signing $31 million for 2 years, 23 guaranteed with the Arizona Cardinals. How does this change the landscape in the NFC West?
It doesn't. I mean, to me, look, well, here's the thing.
You mailed it in. I mean, Stafford's going to bring home the suit. They're already planning the parade.
Oh, stop. Would you? I just said it's a huge upgrade over Jared Goff. Well, I can say this. Matthew Stafford makes that touchdown pass against the Patriots in the Super Bowl that Jared Goff was late on.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have got him to the Super Bowl. You have to win playoff games, though, to get to the Super Bowl.
You know, by the way, he's never had a 1,000-yard rusher in Detroit.
That's good.
It's fine. It'll be better there with Cam Akers and at least some protection of the offensive line. And by the way, he's got the best player in the National Football League on the other side of the ball in Aaron Donald, one of the top shutdown corners, and Jalen Ramsey. I can appreciate everything you're saying, but I don't want a guy in J.J. Watt. I think he's a terrific locker room guy. I think he'll bring a lot to this team. He's playing with the best edge rusher right now in the National Football League in Chandler Jones. These two guys have combined 192.5 sacks since 2012. Top two in the National Football League, Mike, 97 for Jones and 95.5 for what? I'm just not a believer, though. Overall, they got to get better on offense. They had no running game.
If you don't believe in the Cardinals, it's good news because it's moving their odds down, which means it's moving your team's odds up, whoever you think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, let me tell you something. None of your bookmaker buddies actually reflect the odds correctly or accurately in that sense. They don't adjust it based on that.
Yes, they do. When we move somebody down, we move others up. Telling you what they do.
I believe you. You guys might actually do that. There's a lot of other people I would question that on, and that's a fact. You know that, and I know that. Nobody ever calls them out on it, but that's the reality of it. Anything in the NFC West that you like, any team?
I don't know. I think the Rams are still the best. I think big question mark is Garoppolo, right? So what's he going to give you in San Francisco? If they can get some quarterback play, I think they're as good as anybody in the division.
Pedestrian Garoppolo is what his name should be. That's going to do it for us on this Monday version of this one. Anything on Bedlam?
Bedlam rematch. I'm going to play the home team tonight. I'll take the point now.
Be careful of the revenge. I'm just telling you right now. Darren Banks is going to join us tomorrow. And I got to ask him, why don't guys go to the bench when they break their stick?